Boy, shit's going. There we go. Oops.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins. And again, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Ed, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much, man. I mean, coming off of a pretty action-packed weekend with the BKFC 56 and UFC in Austin, slamming UFC in Austin. I know there's a lot of slam KOs on the card, and you know, there's some great wins and some great fights, and BKFC, as I thought, kind of like stole the show as we got into primetime hours, because that Austin card was kind of over early enough that you could have watched the main event of BKFC 56 and UFC Austin. So there's a lot to take in from that. I don't know where you want to start first. I mean, we talked a lot about the BKFC picks. I mean, I feel like, I mean, I just want to start off, might as well start off with that, with Mike Perry and Eddie Alvarez. You know, I picked Perry to win, but I kind of felt like I was going to be wrong as the first and second round went on. So I thought Eddie Alvarez's head movement and his counterpunching was paying off in dividends for him. But the strikes that Perry obviously did land hurt Alvarez a lot, but he absorbed so much damage that I thought if he didn't land that right hand that kind of buckled Alvarez in the second round, I thought that was Alvarez's fight to win. But I mean, damn, if Mike Perry's head isn't, you know, made of iron.
Built for BKFC. Yeah, I mean, it kind of went, in a sense, kind of how I think we both thought, maybe, because we both picked Perry to win. We're both rooting for Alvarez. I every single time a smaller guy is fighting a bigger guy, I always overlook the speed of the smaller guy. And in this case, I think Alvarez was lighting him up early because they were both fresh and he's so much quicker and he was throwing great punches early. I mean, just brutalized Perry. But in the sport, we mentioned about the one punch knockout power and stuff. Mm-hmm. Perry has that punch that can just break your face.
Yeah.
And he's willing to break your face while his face is already broken. That's the difference between him and a lot of people, is he stood there looking like a horror film. And then he ended up delivering the punches that put multiple fractures into Eddie Alvarez's or eye orbital. So, I mean, this wasn't a joke. You know, leave it to me to go, hey, the last thing I ever see is somebody quitting on their stool in this fight. Mm. Of course, you know, but it turns out that it's, you know, when you got broken orbitals, Eddie Alvarez isn't a dumb fighter. You know, he's a smart dude. Who knows? He's a prize fighter. He's not going to go out there and risk his eyesight, risk the rest of his potential money-making career to go out there and try to and have his eye seriously, you know, permanently damaged. So, you know, I thought it was fun. It was a hell of a two rounds. I mean, nobody, you know, you kind of disappointed how it ended, but as far as it being a corner doctor stoppage kind of thing, but yeah, I mean, I'd like to watch a rematch. I don't know if I feel like Eddie might just be too small for him in the long run, but you know, with the rumor of maybe them trying to get somewhere into Philadelphia area out there in Pennsylvania, if you could have something out there in a suburb of Pennsylvania and have Eddie Alvarez fighting, you know, outside of Philly, then
yeah,
I'm all for giving him whatever he wants. I'm all for giving Eddie Alvarez whatever the heck he wants. If he wants to fight heavyweight, I don't care. The dude earns it. But yeah, I mean, just a good fight, and I mean, brutal again, the whole event. A lot of brutality. I mean, it's not possible for this event to go through without that being the case. But if you're able to absorb that and get past that, I mean, Christina Fajeya does her thing to Beck Rawlings again, just whitewashed, dominated, five rounds to none.
Yeah, she called out Chris Cyborg there, but Cyborg's already got a fight booked in for January. But, you know, she seemed open. She reacted to it on social media and was kind of like, you know, talk to me, you know, for afterwards, because she still doesn't know what's going on with Bellator. So definitely something to look forward to there. I don't know how do you think Cyborg would do in BK? I feel like she'd be
great in it. Yeah. I think Fajeya's, I mean, I think Christina Fajeya's just insane in that she's willing to fight anybody, and she's kind of a cyborg herself in the way she approaches the sport. But realistically, she's much, much smaller than Cyborg. I mean, this would be like a Leslie Smith, you know, Cyborg kind of size mismatch. I mean, she's fighting at 125. Cyborg's 145 and not really budging off of that as her career has shown. Mm-hmm. She hit 140 a couple times, but that's those days are, I think, are past. I think it's 145 or bust for her for most of the rest of her career. I think she'd do great in it. I think she's tough enough, and I think she, you know, I mean, when I say tough enough, I mean, I think she's willing to take the physical dismemberment, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? The disfiguration that comes with it. Eddie Alvarez said it best, you know, about Mike Perry. That's why Mike Perry is so special at this, is because he's not afraid of looking like the Elephant Man, basically. You know what I mean? He'll go out there and he'll let his face get wrecked, and he's going to stand in front of you, and you're going to have to give him your best shot to put him down. And when you put him down, you better hope he doesn't get back up, because mm-hmm. you're going to have a hard time doing it again. So I think Cyborg would do great for it. I haven't seen any larger women. I don't think BKFC has a 135 or 145. They don't. So
I could see them making one for her. UFC did it. So
I think it would be a one-off. If I'm being honest, I want to see Cyborg finish her career in BKFC. Other than like a kind of a MVP one kind of fight thing. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that. I'd love to see that, but I don't want to see the people that are actual true legends necessarily winding down. You know, when you're on the Mount Rushmore, we don't need you winding down your
career. No, I mean, I know she wants to do boxing, but I'd like to see her, you know, close out MMA. I mean, if she retires as a champion with the Bellator title, you know, Bellator PFL should. You know, there's fights for her in the PFL. You know, she's got the Kayla Harrison fight would be a big one. They could put that on their weird pay-per-view that they want to do. But, yeah, that'd be nice to see for her. But just really quick about Eddie Alvarez, you know, that the whole thing about Philly, to Eddie Alvarez's credit, and his, like you said about it, like even though he knew he took that L and he still did it, went to the post-fight press conference and he still spoke to the media and he still kind of like was asking for the rematch then and there. I just don't know if I honestly, I think the injury happened like he's definitely the better fighter from what I saw. In my opinion, anyway, he was a better fighter. It's just that because of the time in versus, you know, he's taken a lot of damage over the years. And I think the orbital break and all and him, you know, being smart enough to quit at in his corner, that's just all a culmination of how long he's been fighting. So I don't know why he keeps fighting, but you know you can't, no one can tell these guys when to stop. They have to make the decision to stop, and he's definitely that guy. You know, he Underground King is a you know, well-earned name for him, talking when you look back at the history of how he came up in the sport and where he's, you know, what he's done and where he's been. So he's definitely been in enough wars. I just think his body might not be able to handle any more wars, even though his heart seems to want them.
Yeah, I think he can be successful in BKFC. I think he should stick to the guys that are more his size and, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe pick up, you know, it all depends on where these guys want to be at in their career. Do they want to just try to pick up some wins, pick up some money, or do they want to have super fight after super fight? If you're mm-hmm. talking super fight after super fight, he's probably got two fights left in his career at this. You know what I mean? Like, you're starting to talk then, starting to take severe, you know, you're not kind of getting those squash matches, which potentially could really kind of have if you're Eddie Alvarez, if they just match you up with the, you know, the Miami DJ or something like that, that BKFC can pull out if that's what they want to do. But, you know, I mean, I'd like to see a rematch of this if that's what Eddie wants. Maybe that's mm-hmm. his farewell fight, especially if it's in his neck of the woods out there in near the Phillies. So, I don't know, but I just like what BKFC is doing. I enjoy their shows. I like to see that they, when they get positive press and people seem to be entertained by what they're putting out is a good sign, you know, especially, like we said, after last week's show, us talking about how things are kind of starting to disappear a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what was the other fight that was kind of like, dude with the mohawk? That fight was a little nuts. I forget the name of the guy, but that highlights was on a lot of social media the following day. That first round, especially because of the way it started off.
Yeah, that was the preliminary fight. Yeah, there you go, Esteban Rodriguez. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna always have that kind of stuff in BKFC, but you know, you got a couple of the picks right. You had Kai Stewart who looked really good against Howard Davis.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I think I did all right. It was just that one, the one I got wrong. What was the one I got wrong?
I don't think you got any of them wrong. on the four main card fights, you nailed it because you had Mick Terrell too.
Yeah, that's
and he
right.
and he
that's
was
right.
losing early to Adams. Adams looked good early, but then he's gassed out in the third round and then was eventually finished off in the fourth. You did good on your picks there, so I'll give you credit on that. Jeremy Stephens looked good, you know, kind of had the same kind of thing. Like, you know, he kind of came out, he took some shots. Rivera had a nice little jab going early, but we mentioned the big punch, and I mean, mm-hmm. he opened up Rivera's eyelid wide open. So same kind of thing. Guys, you got lightning in your hands. You know, you can win a fight like this a lot quicker than some other guys who kind of have to grind away at it. You know, if you Mike Perry or if you're Jeremy Stephens, you just put a 4-inch cut over the guy's eye and let the referee or the doctor.
I'm curious. I mean, we don't see like sale, like pay-per-view. Like I'm curious of the numbers they did, because I mean, if anyone's a draw, you know, for BKFC, I obviously it seems like Mike Perry's that guy. I'm just curious about the numbers, because he said something in the post-fight press conference where he was like people were asking what's next, and he said something along the lines of like, it can't just be me. Like he wants to fight other notable fighters. He's like, I don't want to be the one person. I don't want it to be a one-sided reason for the folks who are watching. It's got to be me and like, you know, so another name. And I forget what the name was that he called out. I saw him say, and I forgot who it was, but he said, oh, Anthony Pettis. And he was like, you know, he's like me and Anthony Pettis. He mentioned about how he beat Roy Jones Jr. in their boxing match. And, you know, Perry trained with Roy Jones to get ready for this one. So it'd be kind of like, you know, avenging his teacher and type of thing. Kind of like Fist of Fury storyline for them to sell the fight if they do book it. But I mean, I think that'd be another big name, but we got to see if BKFC can come up with the money to pay for the name, the, you know, the type of fight that Perry is asking for, and especially to draw into Anthony Pettis after he made money, you know, fighting Roy Jones.
And you know, we'll see next week and what how Pettis continues when he's got that Cardi combat fight with Benson Henderson. Yeah, as far as the pay-per-view numbers go, I don't think we probably won't hear much about it. I know last time they complained about piracy, but I'm guessing somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 50,000-60,000, which isn't a ton, but as long as it's enough to pay off the provider and pay the bills, I don't know. I don't know if pay-per-view is the pathway anymore for this kind of stuff. I just don't. But I don't know the numbers. It just seems common sense would tell me, you know, any kind of even YouTube with ads would almost be, you know, if
yeah.
you get eyes on it, seems like it would almost be getting there.
Especially with live sports looking for a home, I feel like YouTube is a good option. I wrote a couple of things on that on the newsletter that I do, just how, like, you know, because I thought Bellator could capitalize on their YouTube channel. I even proposed it to Saki Gabara and Scott Coker doing this time last year when they did media for Ryzen versus Bellator, and obviously, you know, Coker knew where they were going before I did, and Saki Gabara was just nodding his head like he was interested because the translator translated for him. But it was, you know, like they could do sub only stuff on their YouTube channel. I feel like that's a good way for, you know, who does YouTube? What's that one that has all the UFC fighters? It's always a good card. I can't think of the promotion.
Well, XMMA was always on there.
XMMA.
Invicta's on there a lot.
Invicta's on there with them and Access TV. But,
yeah, they have a combination.
George Bred. I mean, Game Bred. Jorge Masvidal thing is a strictly YouTube thing. It's not Fight Pass, it's YouTube. So there's got to be something there for them to do stuff like that. But
don't forget that Power Slap does like 50 billion views on Rumble, according to Dana White. So
yeah,
I mean, there's got to be a bunch of ways to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I
mean, they could go on Rumble and be number two in India behind Power Slap, right?
Yeah. I don't know, you know. It'd be a distant number two according to what we hear. So,
yep, number one in India. With that said, let's talk about Dana White's promotion, the UFC. Last weekend had a, you know, anytime they got an event in front of people, it's nice to talk about, nice to acknowledge. They want to acknowledge the fans. It's easier to acknowledge the event. But they went to Austin, had a nice little crowd out there. And they got a hell of a fight card. You know, the fights, we promoted the fight night. We don't do that a lot on this show. Mm-hmm. It pretty much paid off. You talked about a couple slam knockouts, mm-hmm. That are obviously spectacular. What can you say about Misha Tate? Holy shit. I thought she was going to get boat raced and,
yeah,
she legitimately looked like she might be the next 135 pound champion.
Yeah.
I mean, I would, if that Misha Tate fights Buena Silva or fights Pennington, the winner of the fight in January,
mm-hmm.
especially Pennington, I know Pennington has a win over at 205, you know, a long time ago now, which led to Tate's first, you know, retirement. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that was as good as I've ever seen her fight. I mean, I know that she didn't get the finish, but her wrestling and her control, and I mean, that was Cupcake Tate, you know, early Strike Force days.
Yeah, she's definitely, you know? Like, they're like, anybody that tried to shit on her or whatever, I mean, like not for nothing, and you know, she was always kind of like, she got some trash when she lost all her fights to Rousey, but you know, I mean, long term, when you, I always think about Chris Hodder. There's a Chris Hodder, one of these motivational jiu-jitsu videos that are out there, and he's part of the OG, like, first people started getting black belts under the Gracie and jiu-jitsu from back in the day. And there's a quote out there from him there where he says, you know, it's not about who's good, it's about who's left. And you look at somebody like Misha Tate, the fact that she's still, what'd she say, 18 years in her post-fight interview in the cage. She's been fighting for 18 years. She's still there throwing down, like you said, like at contender level. I mean, when after that, I meant to put it on Twitter, but I was like, not for nothing, don't ever put that woman on the prelims again after that. Like,
no,
put her on the
right.
Main card. You put her on the main card. I mean, she's a former champion. Put her on the main card. I mean, win or lose, put her on the main card. I mean, you know, you got all these guys like Clay Guida that you're giving, you know, Clay Guida, who's the guy from Jim Miller? You know, you're giving these guys placements on cards. Like, pump them up to the main card. They put in their time. Just because she stepped away for a little bit and came back, sometimes people need that. Henry Cejudo did it, you know. A lot of people do it. McGregor said he retired how many times in there, and we're literally still talking about him and Michael Chandler fighting. So, yeah. It's something that's that she needs to, you know, what's a phrase that they say? Put some respect in your whatever. Put some respect on her name. I forget. I don't know the phrase I'm looking for, but like. Like the Misha Tate, I mean, man, I mean, if you thought she was done, she let you know she's not. And that
I thought she was. I thought she was.
Me too.
I didn't think she was done fighting. I thought she was done being a top contender. And she was in incredible shape. She had good cardio. I mean, everything. It was a championship, women's 135 pound championship level fight that she put out there. That's what it looked like I was watching. It looked like I was watching a prime Misha Tate do her thing against a girl who, Julia Vila, who I thought was going to win and had nothing. I mean, there wasn't 1 second of that fight where Misha Tate was even worried about, you know, any fear of not winning that fight. It was like she was just going through a class. It looked like a black belt against a white belt, basically.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like you against me if we decided just to do a full-on heavy, and, you know, grappling match.
And Avila's like, know? No slouch either. Like, if you've watched her fight, she's not somebody to it's not,
no,
like,
I picked her to win. I think you did as well. Yeah. You know, I like, we both know that she's got mad skills. It's just, it just didn't come through that night. And maybe she had a terrible night, which made Misha look great. But I'm excited to watch Misha fight next fight now.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of like, okay, you know, we'll see where it is. But now I'm all in. I'm all in.
Yeah, if people want to see her and Rousey again at UFC 300, they, you know, like I don't care if Rousey fights, but she definitely should be. She was on 200. She should be on 300. You know, like, what are they talking about doing her and Holly Holm again too? I saw a lot of matchups that I'm just like, if it's a marquee matchup, you know, if it's something that, we know the rankings don't matter anymore anyway, so make a fight that sells.
If the UFC could figure out a way to get Ronda Rousey back to fight, then God bless the UFC and Ronda Rousey. Bring her in. I'll watch it. At this point, like you said, everything else is thrown out the door. Would I expect Ronda Rousey to come in and beat anybody in the top 10? No, probably not. I expect her probably to get smashed, but if she wants to, you know what I mean? Like, I just, that's kind of where I feel like the sport is at, and we might as well just embrace anybody, you know, every once in a while, you know, it's always been that way. We had the Lesnar thing for 200. We had, you know, but I look forward to Misha's next fight. I thought she looked great. Speaking of people who looked great, Sean Brady didn't even get Gastelum a chance to.
We didn't even
get to see him at 170. Really, I mean, he got taken down, submitted before you could
I will say, I mean, and I meant to put it on social media, but I was so burnt on Saturday. I was not very active, but I will say for. Like there was a lot of good scrambles that Gastelum did well, but Sean Brady's just the fluidity of his, like seeing where Gastelum was going and where he was moving, just that whole the stuff that they were saying on commentary, I couldn't agree more with just how well he was moving. But Gastelum, you know, he just got outclassed. Brady's like his mindset was just step. You could see he's a step or two ahead of him every time, especially when he dragged him back and kicked that foot out from underneath him to get to the back. That was just I mean, the dude is good, man. I mean, I was hoping for more from Gastelum. I did like, but he did some things that were impressive too. I know he lost, but it's like, you know, he made Brady work for that finish too. So it was a good fight. That was a fun fight.
Figueiredo looked incredible at 135. Looked like an instant contender there.
Yeah.
I mean, awesome. Again, I mean, kind of like, I know he had all those great fights with Moreno, but he ended up on the wrong side of it, you know, two and a half out of four times, you know what I mean? You know, with the draw there, but and a couple of the losses on the, you know, especially the last loss.
The thing about fights those fights with Figueiredo, I think that's what makes, you know, when you go through fights like that and you're still in your prime, you know, and you heal from the damage and you're young enough to come back and fight more. That's where Figueiredo and Moreno are at. And I think those fights, like those dudes made each other. You look back at talking about Eddie Alvarez, Michael Chandler fight, like those guys are the battle gods that they are because of the wars they fought with each other, the ways that they locked horns and I think that just showed on last Saturday with Figueiredo too. That's why it was so easy for me to pick him when we were doing our picks.
Yeah, I guess for me it's more like you forget how good these people are when they're not fighting. When he's not fighting Brandon Moreno, look what he does to a normal contender. You know what I mean? Rob Font's not no joke.
Yeah.
You know? So to see that domination, you're like, okay, that's you know, like you lose a little sense of that when they're fighting another, when he's fighting somebody else that's on his level, as opposed to the guy who's just a click below. And you're like, that's the domination that's why he's fighting Moreno four times in a row, you know, because there's nobody else in his class. Now, obviously at 135, he's got a you know, massive challenge in everybody in that division. But he made it, but a hell of an entrance. So look great there. Jalen Turner looked outstanding first round.
Oh,
controversial finish. But finish aside, I mean, crushed Bobby Green.
Yeah. Controversial because of the ref stoppage, but, there's a reason why you're not seeing it. Like usually people bash a ref for the whole, like a few days after the event, but Dana White said in the post-fight press conference, apparently, and I forget the referee's name, but he saw the playback himself and was just like hard on himself. So like he recognized how bad the stoppage was, and I mean, when someone at least admits it, you hope that they're going to do something to make sure it doesn't happen again. But Dana White, they brought that up to him, and he was kind of like, yeah, no, he's aware of it, and he's not happy about it.
I think Kerry Hadley, I believe, was the referee. I mean, it was late. I don't get as dramatic as everybody, but then again, you might just say I'm just bleed. I don't think it was. I think it was late by a handful of punches, but I don't think, you know, I've seen people 15 seconds late. I didn't see it like that. I saw it was like 5 seconds late. You know,
I don't remember where I got the 10 unanswered punches. I always think of when Thompson fought Kimbo. And there was like 10, there was like a lot of punches unanswered. And I feel like I remember hearing on the broadcast, if it's 10 unanswered punches and they're huddled up like that, that's usually when a stoppage should come. But I don't know when, again, I'd have to take, you'd have to ask like Jay Petcher, one of the guys that took the refereeing course over in Vegas last summer, which I hope to do this freaking summer. But yeah, it's something that's one thing I will say, I feel like, I know Bobby Green's like a fan favorite, so I'm probably going to get shit for this, but I feel like he kind of brought it on himself too, because in the early exchanges before the finish happened, you know, there's a little too much showmanship going on. His hands were down. So it's kind of like, you know, it's cool to be confident, but overconfidence usually winds up like that. So, he took it like a man. He did his post after, talk about winning and losing. So hopefully he recognized that mistake too. But yeah, I thought it was worth mentioning that the referee was aware of it, because, you know, a lot of times they try to defend themselves like they're the master experts, without saying any names. We know who they are, that they don't make any names, that they don't make any, you know, they don't take any responsibility for their actions, but and they go on to be commentators that nobody wants to hear, but you know, it is what it is.
the main event, Armin Saryukin demolished Beneil Dariush. Kind of feel like my prediction of Dariush kind of reaching the pinnacle, and now perhaps we're going to see a fall off, seems to be semi-accurate, at least right now. Serious contender in Saryukin at this point. I expect his next fight to even be bigger than this one, which basically puts you at a number one contender fight. And from that point, you know, there's only the title after that. So, I mean, you know, there's always a log jam at 155. It seems it seems like it's a bit of a carousel, in a sense that, you know, we're kind of, it's the Oliveiras. It just seems like everybody's, it's kind of a giant round robin tournament. So
yeah,
perhaps a little bit of new blood in there would be nice. Cause
one of the names he mentioned when he talked to the post event show on ESPN, when he spoke with Karen Bryant and then was Justin, he said he wouldn't mind fighting Justin Gaethje if he can't get, like, you know, anybody else ahead of him. And I think we all know Justin Gaethje only wants titles, you know, either Avenge and other fights or his title match, which I would prefer for him, because I'm a Justin Gaethje fan. But I don't know if I'm also curious to see how a fight with him and Saryukin goes. I don't know if Saryukin wants that smoke, because when he said it, if you watch the interview, it's on YouTube, ESPN MMA YouTube channel. He says it, but he doesn't say it like, you know, like the way other folks would call out a fight. He says it kind of very respectfully. I don't know, man, but you bring up a good point about the logjam. We had that for a while with the women's strawweight division, and when you got a lot of good people in a certain weight class in one promotion, you're going to see that a lot.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the rankings right now, because I feel like there's some fights for him to be had that isn't.
Yeah, they updated them yesterday, so that's a good. Let's see, I'll bring him on screen.
Okay, so the only people ahead of him are Poirier, Gaethje, and Oliveira, and then Makhachev, the champ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what they're going to do with him. If he's Poirier, I guess, but I just, you got to also throw Connor in there. Because you got Chandler and Connor, who,
because of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still not sold that we're going to see Connor and Chandler happen. It just seems like something that's, you know, so he has a loss to Gamrot. So he has and he has a loss to Islam. So he's got a couple makeup fights there. I was thinking Fiziev. I think that would be a fun brawl of a fight, but I see that he's ranked, you know, a couple slots under him, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm bringing it up so we could look at him. Yeah, Poirier. Is Connor even on here? Where's Connor?
He's not listed because he hasn't fought in.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It's too long. Yeah, but.
But he might be fighting Michael Chandler sometime. It's funny because Michael Chandler, you know, he's doing all these interviews now to promote his high. I think it's called Hiatus, the tequila company he's like co-founding or sponsoring or whatever. All these celebrities and people are doing, you know, getting into these booze companies. But, you know, as he's trying to push that, everybody keeps asking him, like, you know, what's up with you and Connor? And he's just like, obviously it's not him that's holding up anything. So, because he's ready to go. He says he's staying ready in training and everything. I don't know. I mean, if he wants to get another fight and just get another paycheck, maybe him and Sarukian. Chandler and Sarukian, I wouldn't mind seeing that. I mean, I think it'd be bad for...
I think Chandler would be a fool to not... Until Connor literally disappears or fights somebody else,
yeah,
I think he'd be a fool to pass up on that paycheck after he's already sat out for like a year. That's the thing. Like, this whole thing, it'd be, like, he was hot. You know what I mean? He wasn't even winning fights, but he was hot. And now it's like, I just feel like he let everything die down. And then, you know, as well as I do how this works, like, they finally announce the fight and then one of them blows their knee out in training. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
especially if you got a ticket to the event. Yeah.
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 But speaking about tickets to events, so next week we look to have a good preview show. I will be attending Karate Combat, and I bit the bullet and I'm going to UFC 296 to join the folks up in the nosebleeds, but it'll obviously be a good time that I enjoy, and we'll get to talk about those fights next week. A couple stacked cards.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, fans can check out the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMA Hawk 21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeerzol on Instagram, Oldhead Carb on Twitch. And that'll do it, folks. Thanks for listening, and we appreciate it every time.
See you next week.